Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Like we are live on here. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday night. As you know, if you've been following along, John Newman, the president of the Knights of the Raritan Collective for Rutgers University, is here to talk to us all about the Scarlet Ticket promotion. He's here to talk to us anything about NIL. We have a bunch of your questions from the chat or from the message board. If you would like to ask a question at any point, if you drop it into the YouTube comments, we can get that on screen and get you guys having those questions answered. But John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. I always love having the opportunity to talk to everybody.
Absolutely. And it's an exciting week. The Scarlet White game is on Saturday. The end of the Scarlet Ticket promotion is just a week away. So I know that most people who are tuning into this and are going to be listening to it on recording probably know who you are, probably know what Knights of the Raritan are, but let's kind of just talk through what the Knights of the Raritan is, kind of how they were formed, and what the kind of how the promotion for the Scarlet Ticket was kind of thought of and brought through from an idea to an actual reality.
So Knights of the Raritan is an NIL collective focusing on Rutgers student athletes. Believe it or not, we're about to celebrate in about a week and a half our 2-year anniversary. So we actually started having this conversation about 2.5 years ago and wanted to be set up. We sort of saw the NIL train coming when people really weren't paying attention to it and realized that collectives, which are third-party groups that are allowed to raise money and do deals with existing student athletes at universities and institutions, you know, that was the model or a model that would lead to the ability to raise money, to be able to do deals with student athletes. And our focus has always been retention of existing student athletes. That still is the case, although, especially with the existence of the transfer portal, and the, you know, relaxation of rules coming from the NCAA, that has changed a little bit. We don't go after student athletes, but we also work very closely with the coaches, the staffs, and the programs to let them know how much money we have raised for their specific sport and what is available to them from Knights of the Raritan as they build their rosters and put their teams together. Roster building, as you guys know, you know, in the past, it was like you bring somebody in, odds are they're going to stay with you for 4 years. Now it's, you know, I think I read something today. One of the not Power Six conferences in basketball, but one of the lower conferences, half of the starters, the entire conference, are in the transfer portal right now looking to go up. So just think about that. Every team in that basketball conference has lost at least 2 to 3 starters, and they are having to now rebuild their roster. Similarly, as you know, what Rutgers is going through, you know, what is it, 3 or 4 transfers in already, maybe 1 or 2 more. Mm-hmm. So it's really about roster building and the ability now with the new NCAA rules to transfer almost automatically every year. People have the opportunity to do that, and we're seeing that. You know, knowing how much money each team has in order to fund that, and unfortunately for people who don't like that, that's just the reality of the situation these days. So we didn't know that 2 years ago, but we know now that we're a valuable resource to the coaches and the athletic department, and one of the sources of revenue, and there are a lot of others that are now available to them to do deals with student athletes moving forward.
And let's talk about the Scarlet Ticket promotion, because it's one of the more cutting edge promotions that I've seen any collective run. I know that a few other collectives have kind of taken the idea and ran with it themselves,
What was the thought process that went into that? And what kind of response have you seen from members about the promotion itself?
So as you guys know, we've run campaigns before. We've done a $1 million match. We've done match campaigns, but we wanted to do something unique. We have found that folks really respond to member benefits and wanted to come up with something that nobody else was offering. We realized looking into next year, we have a unique opportunity. Football is going to be extremely good, hopefully. Basketball, we all know what's about to happen with two of the three, you know, best high school basketball players coming in next year. The fact that the waiting list for basketball, men's basketball season tickets is insane. Ticket prices have been increased. We also wanted to make sure that we had women's sports represented. So we looked at the four, what we would consider revenue generating sports, and that's football, men's and women's basketball, and wrestling, and said, what can we offer to one lucky winner that nobody else could offer? And what it is the Scarlet Ticket is two premium seats to every football, men's and women's basketball game, wrestling match. And then when Brian Brecht heard about this, he's like, I'll kick in men's lacrosse as well. So for football, you have tickets in the Provident Bank Club. In men's basketball, the best we could get was 200 level, but you're also going to have pregame hospitality. For women's basketball and wrestling, you have seats in the 100 section, and we'll get you good seats at SHI for men's lacrosse. So you will have tickets to every single home game all throughout next year. And wow, we're offering it only to members of Knights of the Raritan. You could be a member for, you could have been the first member. You could have been you'd be the last member that goes in before April, the deadline at midnight, April 30th. So you will be eligible for the drawing. The higher membership level you get, the more entries you get into the Scarlet Ticket. So if you have a $10 a month membership, you get one entry. 25 is three entries, 50 is five entries. We have six different levels. It sort of goes up for there. So if you're an existing member, you can upgrade and you get more entries. If you're a new member, you can just go in at the $10 level. That's fine. You get one entry. The higher you go in at this point, the more entries you get. And then we will, it's going to take us a while after the deadline to figure out all of the math on all of that and do a blind drawing for one lucky member. So we're probably going to announce the winner sometime in June. And we're looking at a pretty unique way to let the member know and then also announce that to the public. We want to celebrate this person, obviously. They have a great opportunity. It's going to be almost impossible to get face value tickets for men's basketball next year. This person's going to get two 200-level seats for free for the whole season, and that's going to be really exciting. So it's sort of like people sort of have teased me and said, sort of like the Willy Wonka golden ticket. That's exactly what it is. And you have a chance to be an Uber fan for a year and have that great opportunity. So people can go to our website and, you know, if they're not a member, they can become a member. We have a match going on right now. We need eight more men's basketball members or membership upgrades to unlock another $25,000 match that was given by an anonymous donor in honor of former Rutgers athletic director Bob Mulcahy. So that's going to be the fourth match. So just through matches alone, we're in the process of raising $100,000 for various different sports. And then so far, we've gotten between upgrades and new members, about 230 members. By the end of next Tuesday, I would like, my personal goal is I'd like to get that over 300. And at that point, we'll probably will have raised between all the different things that are coming in, probably about $250,000 with this campaign, hoping to equip that, but that's sort of what we're looking to do. So sounds like a lot of money, but as we'll discuss, it's there's never enough money in this current landscape, as you guys know.
It sounds like enough money for a center. I'm just saying.
You know, it'd be nice, right?
I'm just saying.
I think that's, isn't that the missing piece at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, man, exactly. Might need to double that or triple it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think they've done a really good job in the portal so far, the basketball mm-hmm. team, but they obviously still have that, the crown jewel piece, to replace Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys going to have a big presence at the spring game? You guys going to have like a table or a tailgate or anything like that?
So we're the sponsor of the autograph session. So our logo Sweet. Is going to be, everybody's going to get a, autograph card, you know, giant card that they can get players to sign. Our logo is on that. We are also, we're not going to push for memberships at the spring game, but you are going to be able to, and you'll see the QR code on the scoreboard and all that kind of stuff. We're really looking for people to sign up for our email newsletter. We have an email newsletter that goes out 4 days a week, and it's basically, it focuses on just promoting Rutgers sports. It's a good four times a week. You know, this is what's going on. We steal from, you know, social media. We really want to highlight all the sports. Mm-hmm. We have about 5,000 people on that email list right now. So if you scan the QR code, it'll take you to a place. You just give us your name and your email address. And our goal is to really build that email newsletter in a big way. Eventually, you know, that's going to be the place that you're going to find out more about membership benefits that we have planned. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be hopefully some special content on that email newsletter. But our goal right now, obviously, we want as many people to sign up as members at KnightsOfTheRaritan.com. But we also want people, we want to take that email newsletter and increase the subscriber base from 5,000 to 25,000 pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, as you'll see, a lot of what we're going to be doing in public is going to be things that will encourage people to sign up for that. We're going to have special giveaways eventually. And all you'll need to do is give us your name and email address, and you get entered for those giveaways, and you get the email newsletter four times a week. Mm-hmm. We think it's a great value. You get it for free. And, you know, we're going to be promoting that in a big way.
Yeah, very excited for that.
We're starting to get some questions rolling in from the chat. Rich, can you highlight a few of these?
Yes. Where do you want me to start? The one from...
Let's start with a Lavish Eagles comment. It's not a question, he said, but...
All right, there we go.
Lavish Eagles said, yeah, not a question.
We have... Yeah, I'm sure that's your best way to continue.
Everyone loves some beers.
So we have a really good relationship with Twin Elephant. Folks have been buying up on the banks... IPA, the second the new batches come out, mm-hmm. they buy it all up. So we're talking to Tim at Twin Elephant. We're probably going to be announcing, they have an event coming up that they're working with the Rutgers Alumni Association on. We're probably going to have a presence there. But our goal is to expand the relationship, hopefully, with Twin Elephant. We're going to encourage them to brew more of that beer. Mm-hmm. And we'd always said that if that was a success, maybe we'll roll out a different style come the fall, but it's been really great. That's been available at SHI. It's been available at JMA, and we're looking to expand that relationship. So Lavish Eagle, stay tuned.
Go on, Mike.
No, I said like a nice crisp, like Pilsner for the fall for tailgating.
Yeah, I mean, the IPA.
A little pumpkin spice in there.
You know? No, come on.
No, please, no.
It's just an idea. It was just an idea.
No, please, no. We, our board is pretty particular about the beers that will carry the KTR banner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we actually had fans do a taste test in one of our events to pick out which one would be our first, and the IPA won out. But, you know, other than the disgusting beers you just mentioned, Richie,
I don't like them. I've just seen
we will look at opportunities to expand the roster, so to speak.
Well, let me ask you this, kind of piggybacking off that. Any opportunities with distilleries or like even coffee breweries?
So we, you know, we work with a partner, Student Athlete NIL is our partner. They mm-hmm. run 50 collectives around the country. Mm-hmm. We've talked to them about a couple of their schools have vodkas. So we've talked to them about that as well. And, you know, we'd love to... you know, look for, you know, we always like to work with local businesses. Mm-hmm. So if there's a local New Jersey-based distillery who's interested mm-hmm. in that, you know, obviously Twin Elephant, they give us a certain percentage of their sales mm-hmm. For what they sell, and we'll, you know, we'll promote it pretty aggressively.
Cool.
Let's go with Nail Life now. John's already kind of addressed this, but just to kind of put another nail in this coffin, John, you can see the question. Has KTR yeah. purposely stayed away from NIL from high school players? Is that a viewpoint starting to change? Also, can we get NIL help Danny find a nice
part. I've given up on the latter part of that comment. Yeah. That is not in my you know, purview, and I've known Mr. Breslauer for a long time. Yeah, we here is our acquisition, player acquisition strategy. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have never wanted to get involved in contacting players directly. That is not our expertise. That really doesn't do anybody any favors. And that philosophy has really solidified as we have created more of an ongoing relationship with the coaches and their staffs. You know, they're the ones that really know who to go after and who they want to go after and who the good fit is. Mm-hmm. Our role is to try and raise money to help them do that. Think of it as, you know, and this is really the direction things are going. Think of them as general managers of professional teams. And I know that's going to make people bristle. And they have budgets and salary caps, right? So mm-hmm. the yep. more money they have to manage and to apportion out to their players, and we're just talking about the donation mm-hmm. side. We're not really talking about the corporate side. That's a whole different ball game there. Mm-hmm. But the more money they have from all the different channels that they know how to manage, they're the experts. They know what they need on their teams. We say, okay, you have this amount of money that can come from us over a period of time. They then know what to work with, and then they come back to us. It's very much a collaborative relationship and say, mm-hmm. okay, these are the deals that we want to be able to do. This is what we want players to do in exchange for doing that work. Mm-hmm. And that's how they build a roster and we help them build a roster. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Let's go to another question here. Richie, can you go to Ignacio A's comment?
Yeah, gotcha. Sorry, I keep covering John's face.
Yeah. Does your group reach out and work with bigger companies and corporations to secure collectives? I think he means NIL funds. Right. Or do they concentrate on only certain size comps, or are the comps receptive when the collectives come calling?
You know, the corporate side has been a bit of a challenge, and it's not really a surprise to me because historically, you know, there's been this narrative about, you know, as you guys have seen, and I'm sure you've seen on the message boards over the years, well, we're between the number one and number four media markets. We have all these companies around here. You know, they should embrace Rutgers Sports. And the truth is, they do to a certain extent, but there's a lot of competition. All of them have marketing dollars that are very limited. You know, Rutgers Sports Marketing does a very good job of, you know, trying to do as best they can to get them to invest in Rutgers Sports. I do think what you will see is now that schools can solicit deals, which happened starting last Thursday, mm-hmm. I think what you'll see is more of those types of conversations happening and more collaboration across the board. I think it's just now that companies, especially in our market, are starting to pay attention and say, oh, we can use student athletes as spokespeople. We can use student athletes as ambassadors, very similar to how professional athletes are being used. So the more successful the Rutgers teams are, the more stars that are created. It's like any other situation, you know, they'll go, oh, you know, there's some star power here. How can we tap into that? How can we tap into the student athlete? So I think we're just now in our market starting to see that. In markets where there's nothing else going on, like the Nebraskas of the world, to a certain extent, the Columbuses of the world, the Ann Arbors of the world, where those teams are really the professional teams, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to make that sell. Here, I think we're just beginning to see that. We do outreach. It's a, you know, it can be a bit of a slog. Mm-hmm. Our focus, at least our executive committee's focus, has been more on the donor side. But with our partner, Sunil, that is a big focus for them moving forward. And we're going to see how it all nets out and whether there are opportunities to collaborate with folks in order to solve that corporate problem.
You mentioned it a second ago, but last Thursday, the ruling with NCAA, the schools can now kind of help a little bit more. How important is that and how impactful is that for you guys?
So, you know, we always thought, but we never really knew that if we had the infrastructure in place to be able to service, you know, schools or third parties and say, look, we can help you. If you can't do it, if you can't pay the players directly, mm-hmm. if you can't, you know, do the legal, do the accounting, all that kind of stuff, we have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. So now with the NCAA saying schools, you can go and solicit, but you can't pay. We feel that we can be potentially, if it's something that Rutgers wants to do, a good partner where if they say, okay, to their, you know, to their corporate partners, okay, you know, if you're interested, you can either go to the athlete directly. Nobody's stopping a company from going to the athlete directly, right? Mm-hmm. But if they don't want to do that, or if they want to do it on a big scale where they don't have the infrastructure to do that, we can be that partner that if a third party comes to us and says, or if Rutgers says, okay, we have some companies that are interested, we are perfectly positioned to then service that deal and, you know, manage all of it for them, put together all of the legal documents, manage the, you know, if, mm-hmm. if student athletes have to do social media as mm-hmm. part of that or do events, we can manage that process. Student athletes are very busy, as you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
And just keeping them pointed in the right direction and helping them do that, if they have to do certain things in order to earn the money, is a full-time job. And mm-hmm. we have folks that can do that, you know, as we've proven with other deals that we've done in the past. So we're still waiting to see. Obviously, it's last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's still trying to figure all that out and what it's going to mean for us. But we're optimistic that not only we can help them, you know, work those deals, make sure that, you know, the fulfillment side and the legal side and the payment side happens, mm-hmm. but also, you know, we're really interested in increased abilities for all of us to collaborate and work together. And we think that that's going to happen. We're just waiting to see. It takes a while to digest what those changes are and to interpret them. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, every state is different now. There are different state laws. New Jersey's, even though it's not in effect yet, is a little bit more prohibitive than the one that Virginia, where I live, mm-hmm. you know, just passed. They basically said, you know, their law basically says now a school can pay the student athlete directly. So it's not an equal playing field. So everybody's trying to figure it out. But I think and I hope that, you know, by the time fall rolls around, we'll be able to offer additional benefits to our members that we're really excited about. We'll be able to collaborate more with Rutgers and all of that.
It's great to hear. We have another question in the chat. Let's go to Matt Casey's question.
It's a long one.
Has Knights of the Raritan considered doing any dine to donate nights with places in New Brunswick? I think it'd be an easy way for alumni to help contribute. And I'm sure there'd be places like Stuff Your Face or D-Dogs that would be in.
Yeah, we have somebody right now on the SNEEL staff calling around and looking for those types of opportunities. You know, the key thing there is, you know, how much, and it's going to sound really weird, right? But there's a lot of work that goes into stuff like that. So it's how much work, you know, what's the return on investment for those types of things? If it's something that we feel is really going to generate a good amount of revenue so that we're not working really hard for this much money, then that makes a lot of sense.
Definitely.
You mean dollar pizza slices won't make a lot of money?
It depends if you're eating them, Richie, or not.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I can make you guys a couple bucks here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's go to Chris Arichetti's question.
Where is that? There we go.
It's a little bit further. Any chance of working with a South Jersey brewery? The previous versions have been difficult to get your hands on. That's a great question because I'm living right outside Philadelphia. And so Twin Elephant doesn't distribute in my area and doesn't really distribute near my hometown either. So
We actually have a beer committee
on our. Hold on. Yeah. Why am I not on this?
Yeah, we have a beer committee. That's part of our executive committee, and I will put that on their list.
Well, if you need a taste tester, I got you.
That'll come too. So.
Connor Yeagerman asks, who also is, I believe, the co-founder of Night and Day Apparel. So thanks for tuning back in. So anybody who has bought anything based on the promotions we've done or just because they have awesome gear, this is the guy who's behind the scenes there. So Connor asks, do you recommend athletes to other companies around the area that can help them with NIL in terms of apparel, autograph appearances, et cetera?
You know, we do a little bit of that. And just so folks know, we are now working with Night and Day. They're offering a item of the week that we're sending out on our email newsletter. So we get an email from, I think it's Connor, on Fridays. And by the middle of next week, we're offering a 10% off to everybody for that item with a special code. You know, I think, we do some of that. Again, you know, we're trying to figure out a good balance between raising money on the donor side and how many of these sort of one-off deals we can do for student athletes that are going to be impactful for them, right? I mean, we do a lot of deals with appearances, especially with our events, where, it's 2 hours of their time. They come, they get compensated, those types of things. So again, we're not right now in the business of shopping individual student athletes out there, unless they're, under retainer for us, which some of them are. But again, I think all of these ideas we need to balance out with how much work does it take and what is the ROI, not necessarily for us, but also the student athlete, given the amount of time it takes out of their schedule in order to do stuff like that.
I'm a little curious, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but obviously NIL has the big deals, but the smaller deals, like when it comes to apparel, autograph, what kind of does the best? I mean, like, is it just autographs? Is that the simplest answer, I would assume?
Yeah, again, it depends. I mean, from an autograph standpoint, that takes the least amount of time for a student athlete, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're spending a couple hours of their time, it's probably X hundreds of dollars for them to appear for that period of time. That's really easy and can be impactful for them. The larger deals that we'd really like to focus on as well is how can we get to the point of some of the previous, commenters, how can we get larger companies to really spend significant dollars investing in student athletes to be ambassadors, to be spokespeople for them, so that they are featured in their advertising, that they're that they feature those sponsors in social media posts. Mm-hmm. So that's not just a one-off, but it's an ongoing relationship. So they're getting paid for their work, but the work is more than a one-off. It's more than of an ongoing situation. Because ultimately, then the student athlete's brand gets elevated, which is really important these days. And it also shows these bigger companies, hey, if we invest in Rutgers student athletes and ambassadors, we can get a return on investment. We can see the needle move. And that's ultimately, if you're asking, how can we really, help the student athlete, but also get companies involved? Mm-hmm. I think it's really those ongoing relationships where student athletes may have a personal stake in those brands. Maybe they're, maybe it's something that they've eaten all their life, or if it's a hospital, maybe it's something where one of their family members was helped, or if it's a restaurant, maybe it's somewhere that they go frequently. All those types of things are important. And it's more than just a, hey, come for an hour, do a couple of social media posts, whatever. The other thing is, even though, and I love, what Connor is doing, even though, the apparel helps elevate the brand, at the end of the day, it's how much of that gets sold that is ultimately the most important piece for the student athlete. So how can we then, as a group, promote that, line of apparel so that they're really getting a meaningful return on investment on that?
Yeah, I think the other thing that's challenging with college athletes in terms of, you're talking about star power, like their stars burn very bright for a very short period of time. There's, for every, Caitlin Clark, who's the returning player of the year, for every returning Heisman Trophy winner and a Caleb Williams, most of the guys who have these standout, really high earning potential type seasons, they can only really maximize that for a few months. Like, for example, if Rutgers, goes 6-0 to start the season, they get a big ranked win. Like, those football players then only really have 6 to 8 weeks to really capitalize on that hype of being on the Rutgers football team. And for basketball, they have, Dylan and Ace are, they have hundreds of thousands of followers across social media platforms. But, if say Jeremiah Williams hits a, half court game winning shot, he's only really got the rest of the season to kind of cash in on that. How do you guys approach like the time sensitive nature of these college athletes having, only a limited amount of time to make money?
I mean, and I think that's, it's sort of what I'm talking about in brand elevation. We know coming into this year, there's a lot of excitement around the potential of football and men's basketball in particular, right? So do we go out and say and market individual players, or do we go to sponsors and say, let's invest in Rutgers football, let's invest in Rutgers basketball, let's do it across the board, let's figure out, okay, how can you use the brand and how can you use not one player, but a bunch of different players to really elevate your brand? Because we're anticipating success this year. Now, obviously, those individual players will be included in that, but I would rather focus on the broader brand, because to your point, Mike, those players are going to be gone in a couple of years. But if the brand is successful and if the teams are winning, then you leverage that in the future, and it becomes not a one-off, not a one-time, but an ongoing relationship that you build over time. Now, obviously, the teams have to be successful.
Sure.
And we're hoping that that's the case with all of the excitement around men's basketball and what football has coming back. But, it's like any other marketing decision, that one of these companies is going to make, is you're betting on how successful something is going to be in the future based on past performance. So that's what companies are going to invest in. So I would, sometimes you roll the dice, sometimes, with individual players coming back and what gets offered to them, what they're paid, you're paying them on past success and you're hoping they're going to be as successful moving forward. Sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. It's the same thing in professional sports. People are making money on what they did last year, hoping that it'll happen this year. Sometimes that happens, and sometimes, it's a roll of the dice.
Yep. So we got a few more questions that have been rolling in here. We appreciate everybody for participating, because this is really helping drive conversation. Rich, do you want to go to Adam's question next? So Adam asks,
why can't I find it? Oh, there it is.
Yep. What do you think Knights of the Raritan has done best these past 2 years, and where do you plan on improving this fall?
I think we have done a decent job of putting together incentive promotions, especially these campaigns, that helps drive the growth of membership. I think we need to do better at that. We definitely need to do better on the corporate side, and we've had a lot of internal discussions about that. But we need to figure out how to reach people that we haven't reached before. I think we do a very good job of maximizing people we can reach through social media, people that we can reach through the fan boards like the Rivals board, people that we can reach in ways that are sort of easy to reach. We do not have access to, Rutgers email list. There are tons of people out there that probably don't even know we exist just because we're limited on reaching them directly. That's why building this email database is really important to us. And that's why the email newsletter is important to us, because we want to be able to touch people on an ongoing basis and reach fans that really don't know who we are and how important it is. I think being able to collaborate more with athletics moving forward, which I'm hoping we're able to do, would help that out. But, we're going to be doing many more events. We're going to be doing a lot more giveaways. We're revamping our membership benefits, one of which is moving forward, we'll have a formal announcement with Richie and Mike coming up, but we're going to be able to offer our members discounted Rivals memberships moving forward, which is really cool. So we have heard loud and clear from our members, they want more of that kind of stuff. We are working on working with a fulfillment house in order to make sure that the membership benefits get delivered on a more timely basis. But probably in the fall, we'll have more announcements around what you get at the different membership levels, some of which we hope are really going to excite people, and some of which people have been asking for since day one. We're just waiting to see if we can logistically do all of that right now.
Got it.
Yeah, awesome.
Few more questions in here. We got some kind of silly questions if we want to.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you want to see that one or no?
Well, which one are you talking about? The Harrisimiax beard one? Or
yeah, the fact that there's a Twitter account called Harrisimiax beard.
Yeah, I just want to highlight that there's a Twitter account just called Harrisimiax beard. John, you're doing great work. Do you think my look is more well trimmed than Mike? Yeah, you're.
Whoa, whoa,
you're
this, is for John. This is for John.
You know, I think it's good. You know, notice they're just focusing on the beard, not on Coach's head, which is a whole different
animal
there. Which I love the look. I think it's great. So yeah. Anyway,
as you can tell, we take this very serious here.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, exactly.
There's another one. You want to do to Gracchus's question here?
I don't know if I see that one.
Let's scroll down a little bit. It's underneath Adams.
Adams. Gotcha.
So Gracchus asks, are we ever going to get Danny DeVito to Jersey Mike's arena? I mean, it makes too much sense. If he was ever going to come, he's a New Jersey native. It'd be this year, right?
I mean, you're going to have to ask, who is it? The CEO of Jersey Mike's, who is investing a lot of money in that, whether if anybody's going to get him to Jersey Mike's arena, the people at Jersey Mike's are going to get him to Jersey Mike's arena.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So, you know, we have no ability to push that, but you know, I would think that at some point Jersey Mike's is going to want to cross promote their ad campaign, and that's a no brainer, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Especially if you get Ace and Dylan in the commercial too. Like that's a win.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, have they ever like reached out to you guys at all? Because I know they've done some stuff with the basketball players, but I think
talked to them a little bit. I know they do direct stuff with some of the sports, and I'm not really, you know, involved in that. And obviously they're a big sponsor of Rutgers Athletics. And I think, again, I think there's, now that there's more opportunity to collaborate, I think moving forward with Rutgers, you know, we want to be careful. You know, we have intentionally not really solicited current big sponsors of Rutgers because we don't want to confuse them.
Yeah.
But now that I think that that the world may open up a little bit, we're optimistic that there's going to be more of those types of opportunities.
Let's go to Matt Finnerty's question. He's asked two, but let's go to his first one. I want to ask you this, especially John, because this might have changed over the last couple of years. Are athletes able to get paid to do athletic activities such as a skills competition or invited scrimmage? I know that there was some kind of like Midnight Madness questions from last year.
Yeah, I think that is still in still being decided. I don't know. Again, with the schools now, the schools can't directly pay the players still. So that's that thing. But I think now that the schools can get more involved with the deals, I think schools are trying to figure out the answers to those questions. So for example, players could get paid for being involved with camps, whether it's their own or so, if that is considered an athletic opportunity activity, yes. I do not know whether the rules have changed enough to allow for a preseason scrimmage against another school that the public is invited to and they have to pay money for, whether that could go to a collective or not. I think you're going to see a lot more of creative thinking around those things and the pushing of the envelope. If in fact schools can now solicit those deals, because theoretically, you know, as I'm thinking about it, if a school wanted to do that and solicit a sponsor to sponsor that and have that work through a third party, like a collective, there could be a way to do that. It's really, you know, that's still above my understanding grade right now, as far as what happened last Thursday.
Interesting.
Matt Finnerty asked another question. Can athletes themselves promote joining a collective?
So we have a number of student athletes that are on that we pay as a retainer. And one of the things that we ask them to do is promote Knights of the Raritan on their social media channel. So if that is the question that's being asked, yes, student athletes can promote and have promoted, hey, join Knights of the Raritan. Coaches, as we posted a Steve Peichel video today on social media asking people to give money. So I think, for a while there, Rutgers was pretty conservative about allowing coaches and staff get, to promote us. Mm-hmm. That has eased, and I think will continue to ease moving forward as this becomes much more, if you were going to ask coaches a year ago and ask them today how important NIL is and how important the ability to raise money is, a year ago would have been sort of important. Now it's the most important thing. So I think there's definitely been more movement. We've had more discussions with coaches about what we can do to help them help us raise money. And I think we're going to keep on seeing the pendulum swing more in that direction. A lot of people aren't going to be happy about that. We know there's a certain percentage of people that want college sports to be pure in their minds, and they don't like the sort of professionalism that has emerged. And it's unfortunate for those who really like the good old days, like a month ago, but this is the direction that things are going. If I looked into the crystal ball, I think within a year, you're going to see many schools sort of take over a lot of what we're doing right now. I don't know what our future is going to be. I think schools are going to be given more and more freedom to solicit deals and eventually manage all of that themselves. I think you'll see, you'll see NIL departments and athletic departments as this eventually happens. And I do think eventually you're going to see revenue sharing and some sort of maybe even collective bargaining where student athletes will be paid directly by the athletic departments, have a base salary, be employees. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll call them employees, but I think within about a year, that's the direction a lot of this is going in. It's happening incredibly fast. The NCAA keeps on losing every battle they go into court to fight. And I think given the amount of money that television groups are paying conferences and college athletics these days, it's going to be hard not to have an argument against some sort of revenue share. We're already seeing the ripple effect of that. Athletic departments are retooling. Texas A&M today, Trev Alberts came in, and after a month being on the job, he fired half his staff and is going to retool the whole athletic department based on where things are going. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that moving forward.
So less bloat amongst the administration level, try and streamline things to open up as much money as possible for the athletes.
But also I think people are going to, within athletic departments, may need to have a different skill set in order to, or to take on more responsibility around NIL and maybe less responsibility around what they've historically had a responsibility to do. Because if NIL becomes the most important thing, and today it is, tomorrow it might not be, figuring out a way to feed that monster at the same time, you're going to have to feed the scholarship monster, the facility monster, all of those things might take different skill sets or having the same people do three or four different additional things.
Yeah, the Alston monster. There's a lot of different ways that athletic departments are kind of strained right now to find a way to offer as much of a competitive package as possible to their student athletes, because there are differentiators.
And that's why, that's one of the reasons we wanted to make sure we had the membership model as part of what we do. We know that large donors, even though there's a certain percentage of the fan base that think, a large donor is going to come in and save the day, they get asked and pulled in a million different directions and are asked constantly for large amounts of money. And there's definitely a large donor sort of, apathy, and, they're sort of over being asked for all that money. Mm-hmm. We always thought and continue to think that the average fan, you know, if they give $10 a month, $25 a month, that's not going to solve the problem, but it's going to solve part of the problem. Yep. So, you know, we're now over, you know, between like 1,000, 1,200 monthly members with this campaign that we did, which sounds like a lot, but it really isn't when you think of how many Rutgers alums there are. So we always thought, you know, if you do the math, the more members that we have, and if we keep the membership happy, once we have them as a member, it's not only giving, you know, money one time, it's money every month for as long as that person wants to give money. That creates a base of revenue that the more we grow it, the more base of revenue we have, the less we have to go ask the big donors to sort of supplement all of that.
That makes a ton of sense. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's basically having a sustainable stream of revenue, because majority of people who sign up for these monthly subscriptions for $10, $25, $100 a month, it's just kind of like a, you know, a cost that they just, they're not going to, it's like having a Netflix subscription. You're very unlikely to cancel that unless there's something drastic that happens.
And the people, you know, I read and participate in the fan boards, and they're like, you know, is my $10 going to make a difference? And my answer to that is yes, if we get enough of those people, without question. You know, there are a lot of people who are never going to give, and that's fine. I respect that. There are people out there who are like on the sidelines going, you know, I'll wait for the big guy to stroke a check. You know, and in some ways you're going to be waiting a while for the big guy to stroke a check, because they're already stroking checks for other things. They're stroking checks for buildings. There, some of them don't want to give for NIL and want to give for scholarships, and that's fine. So even that $10 a month is going to make, it does make a real difference, especially when it adds up over time. It definitely, it fills a gap at the same time that we're going and others are going after the larger money or the corporate stuff or whatever. One revenue stream is not going to solve the problem. We need five or six different revenue streams. And the more members we get, the less pressure it has on those other revenue streams.
Gotcha. Yeah. Tom M has a question here. I'm not sure how much John's going to be able to say on this. And I caveat all these questions that I don't know how much he's going to be able to say, but what does John understand about the proposed college basketball tournament in Las Vegas for a $1 million payday for the school's NIL?
John understands a lot about that. John just can't talk about that.
Yeah, I figured that much. And this isn't like, you know, we got a secret. We're not going to tell you guys. There's like implications to all this.
And let me throw a caveat around all of that. There are a couple of sort of constant themes I see on the various different fan boards I want to make sure people understand. I would love to be able to tell people how much a player is making and how much this guy got for this season or whatever. We cannot do that for a number of different reasons. Number one, it's privacy. And I'm as transparent in my business that I work on every day. I try and be transparent as possible. But in this case, for competitive reasons, where coaches have asked us not to share that information because it puts them at a competitive disadvantage, we are not sharing how much a player makes, how much player gets offered, all those types of things. Because what we have been told and we respect it, it puts our teams and our coaches at a competitive disadvantage. So that I want to sort of, I saw questions on the fan board, like, how much did this guy get? I can't talk about that. So, and what I would say is, what you read across the board, and I think Richie can vouch for this, you know, I would not always believe what is out there. Some of the stuff is true, but some of the stuff is way off, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Opposing teams. I mean, it just comes from everywhere. Strategic advantage for everyone.
And then the other thing is, on things like what we're talking about here, we would love to be transparent about, you know, scheduling and other different ways, revenue streams, and all that kind of stuff. But we really can't, for all of those competitive reasons as well. You know, we view the coaches and the athletic department as a partner, and there are some things we can talk about and some things that if we talked about it, it would put them in a bad situation. We're just not able to do that.
That's totally fair. And we understand that, but the questions, they're always going to be here.
Yeah. And I understand people are like, you know, I'll give if you tell me what every player makes and where the money's going to. And I would love to be able to do that. But the truth is, and it's going to sound really nasty, you know, we feel that we're pretty trustworthy. trust that we are working directly with the people who are making those decisions on a daily basis to try and put the best product on the floor or on the field as possible. We're not making stupid decisions. We're working with them to make sure that the money gets to the places that will be most impactful for Rutgers athletics.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys are, this is not a revenue stream for your individual pockets. None of you guys are getting paid to do this. It is all volunteer time and you guys all have, you know, very limited free time that you're deciding to dedicate to the collective itself. So I do think Ken Miller had a comment in here. I know he's also on the executive committee, I think, for...
He's Next also Garden. On the beer committee, Richie, if you want to... Oh,
all right. Might be my new connect.
Yeah, exactly.
he said, John, you're such a well-intentioned individual, and I couldn't agree more. You guys do a great job, and it is... I wouldn't even say it's a thankless job. It is you get a lot of.
I think, you know, we viewed this at the beginning as this would have a certain shelf life. I think we're probably 2/3 of the way through our job. Like I said, I think in about a year, there's going to be a question as to, you know, if it goes where I think it's about to go. I think the universities are going to have a lot more responsibility. The athletic department's going to take a lot of this, and we may, you know, come to a point where we just hand it off to them because they're much more well-equipped in the overall scheme of things to do this. Mm-hmm. We have a really good partner in Student Athletes NIL. You know, they get now just full transparency about 10 to 15%, depending on the revenue that comes in to, they get paid to do all the work behind the scenes on everything we ask them to do as far as doing contracts for players, managing events, making sure the players get paid, making sure the players get educated. A certain percentage of that money goes back to Rutgers Athletics. Knights of the Raritan is actually a paying sponsor of Rutgers Athletics. So the advertising you see comes out of the money that goes in to help, you know, spend money to make money. So the more we promote what we're doing and our sponsor, Rutgers Athletics, we're then able to bring more money into the collective. So just want to let folks know that small percentage of money that comes in does get paid to somebody. Some of it gets paid, you know, for all the work that they do, and some of it gets invested back in Rutgers Athletics.
Got it. Matt Casey has a question here, if you want to highlight that one, Rich.
Yeah, gotcha.
Is it possible for big-time donors to earmark their donations for specific preferences? Like if a donor wants to donate to help land a top-tier center.
So, Matt, if you have a top-tier center in mind, let us know. Here's what I will say. Any donor at any level, whether it's $10 a month or somebody who wants to give six figures, can earmark their money to a particular sport. At that point, for example, hypothetical, let's say you want that top tier center. What I would say is donate that money to men's basketball, either online or you can contact us directly. We will then let Coach Peichel know that he has X amount of money in the fund. He is much more of an expert of what he's looking for than either the donor or us. And, you know, if we trust him to put a good product on the floor, he will then spend that money wisely, hopefully on the top tier center you have in mind.
Let's go to Ahmad's question. Does Rutgers Athletics ask for the info of those members of Knights of the Raritan for outreach? I think it's valuable to retain those fans.
So not yet, but it's something that we are, you know, we've talked about. Globally, what I will say is I think we're about to enter in, especially the NCAA guidelines changing, more of a collaborative relationship with Rutgers Athletics. That's already changed in a big way. We're seeing a lot of that. And I think there are more opportunities for things like sharing of email lists and all that kind of stuff on both ends. Because ultimately, if the goal here is to get a better product on the floor and on the court, and the way to do that is to raise more money to help coaches, not only football and men's basketball, but all the sports, to be able to get a better product on the floor, then sharing that information in order to help market everybody, you know, the whole package is really important. And we've had those conversations, and I think we've been waiting to see what happened last Thursday happen, and we're still interpreting what that means moving forward. And we're waiting to hear back from Rutgers as to how they want to treat some of those changes. But all the conversations so far have been very positive, and we're just waiting to see what we can do, what we're allowed to do, how we can work together even more.
I was going to say, I think the biggest question is probably like the priority points thing, right?
Right.
Like every time. Yeah. And you guys still can't do anything there, I guess, or they can't do anything specifically.
As of today, no.
Gotcha.
You know, yeah, could that change? I mean, from when we first opened up shop 2 years ago, one of the first questions that people asked was, can I get priority points for what I'm donating?
Yeah.
To me, that's a game changer. Oh, yeah. There are many more people involved in that decision other than Rutgers Athletics and Knights of the Raritan. That's a broader Rutgers University question.
Okay.
We're hoping that that will change. It just takes time for that to happen. So, you know, stay tuned. That's the best I can say on that.
Got it. We got a question from Bobby. If you want to highlight that one, does John have any suggestions on how we can expand the fan base other than winning, of course?
So, you know, there is a certain, you know, this is also a constant theme that Richie probably sees a million times as he's administrating the fan boards, which is the only way for this to happen, the only way people are going to give money is if we win, right? Yep. That's the only, you know, the world will be, all the problems of the world will be solved if we win.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, there's a certain truth to that, right?
Sure.
It's, we, you know, our job in a weird way is not to expand the fan base, although that would be awesome. Our job right now, I think, is to figure out ways to better reach and educate the fans we already have. That has been, you know, that's been frustrating for me because I'd like to be able to talk to everybody about this. When Pat Hobbs put out the video that he did about a month ago, I had people come to me saying, I didn't realize this was a problem. I would love to help.
Wow.
And what that told me was for all the efforts, and these are people who are season ticket holders that travel to football games and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until Pat put out that video that it clicked with that person. And that person is a regular donor and all that kind of stuff. So what that told me is even though we work really hard to get our message out, there are tons of people we haven't reached yet. So our first goal is how do we better reach the people we already have? Again, that's why getting email addresses, building that database is really important. But I mean, winning always helps to expand it. I think the other thing is winning makes it more difficult for people to get tickets. And people get very frustrated when they can't get tickets, and it becomes a challenge for them. And I think we're going to see that with men's basketball. And people are, you know, now it's going to be like it becomes – that's when the casual fan becomes more of a fan because winning begets that. But also trying to figure out ways to get access really frustrates people, and that makes them even more, you know – they want to get involved more at that point. So that's where you see the tipping points. That was the, you know, my experience in the pandemonium and Piscataway moment in 2006. That was to me one of the handful of times in my lifetime that we saw the fan base expand and explode. And it's a matter of not only those one-time things, but how can you sustain that and keep on winning? And NIL and all of this stuff is a big part of that moving forward.
Just more of a reason to sign up for the Scarlet Ticket. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
We have a few more questions in here. Tony Rodriguez asks, will NJ politicians ever do what Virginia did, making Virginia schools pay players directly? We kind of touched on this, but this is kind of pure speculation. What do you think, John?
You know, I think that is going to have to be The short answer to your question is to that question is maybe, right? I mean, I think that's got to be driven by coaches and athletic administrators at the New Jersey schools, right? The way it happened down here in Virginia is UVA and Virginia Tech lobbied to have legislators really push for that. It also helps, you know, if you look, one of the common denominators in each one of those states is every single one of them had a Republican attorney general who really pushed for that.
Yeah.
So, and they wanted their, and those Republican attorney generals were all big sports fans. So mm-hmm. they heard from their constituencies, the governors really pushed for it. I think you're going to see more states do that. And as more states do it, there's going to be a lot more pressure in the states that haven't done it to do it. And I think that's eventually where it's all going to go.
So just to clarify, there's no conversations going on between KTR and Phil Murphy right now.
No, I haven't talked to the governor in a while.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Oh, I got a little flex.
But you
there.
Have talked
little,
to him.
Little flex.
A little bit of a flex.
He was a guest on the Scarlet Spotlight when we were doing, Danny and I was doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah, he seems like a great guy. At least when you'd
be a future guest on here. I'm just saying we might be able to. We gotta make this work. Yeah, I mean,
he is, as you know, very supportive. Probably as supportive as any governor in recent memory have been of the athletic department. He is a frequent courtside guest and a frequent, club level guest for football as well.
Awesome. Going through these questions, Scott D asked, what are the standard clauses in an NIL contract between a player and a collective? For instance, do deals immediately void if a player flunks out of school?
So I'm not going to address flunking out of school, but for example, if we have a deal with a player and the player goes into the portal with intent to transfer out, the deal gets voided. And the deals, without getting into too much, the deals are structured so that, at least our deals are structured, so that there's not a large payment on the front end. And, the payments get spread out over time.
Gotcha. So we don't get kidded and proctored.
Yeah. So to avoid exactly those situations, right? And to avoid a situation where, the player goes in the portal, you've already paid them all the money, it's structured very intentionally to be paid out at specific times throughout either an academic year or a season or those types of things.
Got it.
Interesting.
Somebody asked, does EA Sports contact the players to opt into the game or the schools or the collective?
So my understanding was EA Sports contacted, and I don't, I'm not an expert on this, that there was basically an opt-in situation where the players were contacted by EA Sports. I don't know if that came through the football programs to the players or not, and there was basically an opt-in form. But I know from what I've seen, I think you guys did a FOIA where it was like showed what the schools had to do to opt in for their cheers or their what they wanted on their video boards and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I know the players had an easy way to opt in, but I don't know if it came through the program and then was disseminated or if they went to the players directly. My guess, it was easier for them to go to the programs to disseminate that as opposed to trying to get the name of every player at every school. That would have been difficult.
Yeah. So from what I know, just because I'm a big video game junkie, they basically went to every school or every program and just said, hey, they can submit their names by this date if they want. Great. But we're only taking 85, right. 85 per team. It might be the top 85. Some of the 85 might opt out and then you'll get the next 10 or 15 or whatever.
And I think what was it? They got like $600 and a video game. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Which I mean, hey, you save the $60 real quick.
Yeah, exactly. And a video game that everybody's going to want when it's available because it hasn't been available for like a dozen years. Right.
Yep.
Gone. No, there haven't been any college sports games since NCAA football 14, I believe it was.
Exactly.
I was hoping you guys would be in it like as a collective and I could just start bidding on like, hey, man, look at this. I'm about to get a top tier quarterback.
Yeah, I know. It's like NCAA 2025, the NIL edition, right? That's what you're.
You gotta throw it in there.
You get the NIL add-on on top of that for an extra X amount of money. Yeah, exactly.
I pay money to get a question.
We have not been contacted by EA Sports yet. So
that'd be cool. That'd be neat.
So you're saying there might be a chance?
Yeah, who knows? You never know.
Telling you.
Got another question from Sean Morosi. Will there be an option to defer the seat donation and allocate that same amount to KTR?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think we want to do anything that takes revenue away from the university. And in order to do what Sean is talking about, the university would have to agree to that. And that's really, we have not asked them for that. And I think that's a revenue generating piece for them. And that's something that they would have to make the decision on. I don't think collaboration goes that deep, quite frankly, because those are important dollars for things like scholarships and Alston and all that kind of stuff. You know, unless they decide as an institution that they want to sort of change the formula of how money gets dispersed, I don't think you're going to see that. I mean, there are a lot of questions that hit the fan boards about things that are interesting to think about. For example, I don't know how many times people say, why doesn't Steve Peichel or Greg Schiano just take part of their salary and defer that to NIL? The short answer to that question is they're not allowed to do that, right? And I don't think we're going to see in the short term, you know, there may be athletic departments that basically say, you know, at some point, instead of seat license money going into these coffers, they're going to go into these coffers. But I think we're far down, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. So we've kept you for an hour. We said you're a little bit over an hour. We said it was going to be about an hour. If after people listen to this for an hour and they do want to join, they want to sign up to be a monthly member of Knights of the Raritan, how would they go about doing that?
You just go to KnightsOfTheRaritan.com. On the top line there, on the top of the website, there's membership. You click that, and then you go to the membership page. You then pick what level of member you want to be. You then click that. And then when you get to that next page, you're given the option of designating to all sports. You'll see a drop-down menu. If you click that drop-down menu, you can pick all sports, or you can designate your money, whether it's monthly or one time, to a specific sport. You do that, you give us credit card information, and then I see it in the database.
I'm going to do you one better, John.
You're going to put it in the chat.
Wait, there we go.
There it is. Yeah.
There it is. Nice. So,
right there is the promotion for the Scarlet Ticket. If you click that, become a member today, that takes you directly to the membership page. And then from there, you become a member. There's the choose your level. And not only do you become a member, you then get automatically entered into the Scarlet Ticket giveaway, which is the deadline is a week from today.
All right. Cool.
Awesome. Got guys. It.
You've been very gracious with your time. Is there anything you want to leave Rutgers fans with, John? Anything you wanted to bring up that we haven't talked about?
No, I think we've covered a lot, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time for this. You know, I think Rutgers has been very helpful for us. I mean, when we came to them and said, we want season tickets across the board, especially those basketball tickets, there was a little bit of a pause because we know how valuable those tickets are. So we really appreciate the partnership there. And, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to offer something like this again, quite frankly. So if people want to have that opportunity, joining is the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. But I also know that we really appreciate all the ideas. We probably have thought about just about all of them, but certain things we can do and certain things we're not allowed to do. But if anybody has any ideas, anybody wants to reach out, as Richie knows, I'm on the fan boards all the time promoting all this stuff. And I really look at what people are saying and where I feel I can add value and answer questions, I do. But assume that, you know, for the foreseeable future, even if it's $10 a month, it means a lot. And we can never have enough money across the board to be able to compete because there's always somebody out there that's spending more money or able to raise more money than we are. We knew that when we started this thing, and we just wanted to provide a vehicle that if people wanted to get involved in NIL, and if Rutgers was going to remain competitive, there would be a way to do that. We think we've been able to do that in 2 years, and we're hoping we can offer more as we digest what these NCAA changes and rules are going to do moving forward.
Sweet.
Got it. Well, we have taken enough of your time tonight, John. I can't wait for the spring game this weekend. Hope to see a lot of you guys there. It'll be a great time.
Autographs.
The autographs will be sponsored by Knights of the Raritan, as we said previously. So if you're there, you'll be helping support Rutgers athletes and the collective. Exactly. But for me and Richie and John, I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been another edition of the Net Report Podcast. Signing off.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.